The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. I think ever since you've come into office, things are really looking up. You know, gas is up, rent is up, food is up, everything. No, it really has been. A tough first year for you, Mr. President.
Oh, there you go. A laugh a minute, a big chuckle fest at the Nerd Prom. Hello, everybody. This is Todd Starnes. Hope you had a great weekend. We've got a lot going on the program today, so you better buckle up, America. The voice you heard, Trevor Noah, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I will say this. I thought the guy was pretty fair and balanced with the jokes. I mean, he got some digs in at President Biden, and he also went after Fox News, and there are a couple of jabs at President Trump, made, by the way, by President Joe Biden, cut number one.
I'm really excited to be here tonight with the only group of Americans with a lower approval rating than I have. That's hard to say after what we just saw. This is the first time the president attended this dinner in 6 years. It's understandable. We had a horrible plague followed by 2 years of COVID. Just imagine if my predecessor came to this dinner this year. Now that would really have been a real coup if that occurred.
And it went downhill from there. Biden pretty nasty in his attacks on President Trump, calling his administration a plague. Folks, I've got a big problem with this guy, Joe Biden, sitting there laughing hysterically as Trevor Noah, was talking about how you, the great listeners of this radio program, are suffering. And many of you have reached out to me privately and said, Todd, I can barely afford to buy groceries. I can't afford to fill up my car because everything costs so much. And inflation, it's my paycheck's not keeping up with the cost of what I need to buy down at the Kroger. And many of you are saying, hey, this is not right. Something has got to change here. But Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen, laughing at you, sitting there among many men and women decked out in high dollar dresses, a lot of the Hollywood celebrities, the A-list there, yucking it up, all of them probably nearly millionaires in that room, if not more so, and they're laughing at you, the people who go out and work hard every single day, you bust your backs. You're barely able to make ends meet. You're living paycheck to paycheck. And Joe Biden, who, by the way, is supposed to be one of you. He's supposed to be one of us. He's supposed to be a blue-collar kind of a guy. And yet he's making tens of millions of dollars through his crime syndicate. And you folks are suffering. And he had the audacity to laugh at you. So we're going to get into more of this. It's fascinating the attitudes and the behavior that were on display. By the way, Fox News was there, and they got a big round of applause because Joe Biden said that the Fox News staff had obeyed his orders to get vaccinated to actually attend the gathering there at the in Washington D.C. at the Hilton.
I know there are questions about whether we should gather here tonight because of COVID. Well, we're here to show the country that we're getting through this pandemic. Plus, everyone had to prove they were fully vaccinated and boosted. So if you're at home watching this and you're wondering how to do that, just contact your favorite Fox News reporter. They're all here, vaccinated and boosted. All of them. Fox News, I'm really sorry your preferred candidate lost the last election. To make it up to you, I'm happy to give my chief of staff to you all so he can tell Sean Hannity what to say every day. In fact, Ron Klain is here at the CBS table, which hired Mick Mulvaney. Mick on CBS, I was stunned. I figured he'd end up on Masked Singer with Rudy.
Oh, geez. His jokes were not, they just weren't all that funny. Oh, by the way, you know who wasn't there? Kamala Harris, the vice president. They say allegedly that she has the China virus again. I don't know about that, but there was an interesting report on the Sunday shows. It turns out the big book that's coming out that's doing the deep dive into the Biden administration by the New York Times guys, Jonathan Martin and one of his colleagues. And it turns out that we knew there was bad blood between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but it's really, really bad. Apparently, Kamala Harris got upset because the White House staff would not stand when she entered a room. And I've got that problem here in our radio program, Grace Baker. How come you guys don't stand when I walk into the room?
I mean, we can make that happen. It'd just be exhausting. You're always running around, so you'd be entering the room 20 million times and have to stand up, stand down.
But at least you're getting your steps in.
That's true.
I mean,
who needs
a
stair climber when we got you?
All right, let's listen to what happened. Cut five.
Kamala Harris felt disrespected. Here's one anecdote you have. Harris worried that Biden's staff looked down on her. She fixated on real and perceived snubs in ways the West Wing found tedious. When Harris walked into a room, the White House staff did not stand up the way they did for Biden. The vice president took it as a sign of disrespect. What was astonishing here is apparently there was a meeting about this.
Yes, the chief of staff to Kamala Harris telephoned the West Wing and told a senior advisor in the West Wing to Biden, the VP has noticed this, and she would like folks to stand, staff members to stand when she enters the room. This pulls back the curtain on what this White House is really like. The tensions are deep and they are real between the VP's office and the West Wing. Obviously, the public image is what it is, but this is an ongoing challenge. And what is hovering over all of this, Chuck, is 24.
So clear.
Is Biden going to run again? And if not, is it going to be VP Harris? That is the mood music hanging over the entire Democratic Party right now, as are Biden's poor numbers.
Okay, let's get this settled right now. Biden is not running in 2024. I don't think he's going to be president after the midterm elections. Now, the issue then is, okay, what about Kamala Harris? Well, it can't be her. Everybody hates Kamala Harris. She has absolutely zero support within the Biden administration. And if Biden was not senile, she would have already been gone. But they know there's really not much they can do right now. I mean, God bless Joe Biden for actually getting through the teleprompter on Saturday night. That was pretty impressive, to be perfectly honest with you. So we'll see how all this plays out, but it is a bad situation for the Democrats. And by the way, for the Republicans, I was talking to some congressmen over the weekend, and this was an off-the-record conversation provided, but it was on the record if I didn't use their names. So I'm not going to tell you who these people are, but I will tell you this. They are rock-solid Trump supporters. And it's fascinating because I asked them about whether or not Donald Trump is going to be running in 2024 and should he be running in 2024. And we're talking about five congresspeople I talked to over the weekend. All five told me the same thing. They said about a year ago, they said it was 90% chance he's going to run for the office. Now they're saying about a 40% to 45% chance that Trump is going to run. And they also said they don't think he ought to run. They think that he did what needed to be done, and we need to be looking towards the future, and we need to be looking at another candidate, someone like a Ron DeSantis. And I thought that was fascinating because these guys love Donald Trump. They love his ideology. And I think that's the sticking point, is that they love the ideology maybe more than they love the man himself. So the question at that point becomes, okay, is there somebody out there in the conservative movement that will embrace Trump's ideology and carry that to the White House? Is Ron DeSantis that guy, or is it Kristi Noem or Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina? Who is it that would be able to carry that flag? And outside of Ron DeSantis, I'm coming up with a pretty short list of people. By the way, Asa Hutchinson, you folks in Arkansas, your Rhino governor says he's considering a bid for the White House. So we're watching all of these chess pieces moving around here, and we're still not even through the midterm elections yet. And I don't know if the president sounds like he's running, and I think he is going to run, but I'm not 100% sure he is. And I still think that if we're looking for a new Speaker of the House and Jim Jordan doesn't want the job, I say let's try to somehow recruit President Trump for that job. I think he would make a terrific Speaker of the House. All right, we got to take a break here. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? Would you like to see, and here are your choices, would you like to see Trump run for Congress? Would you like for him to be named Speaker of the House? Would you like for President Trump to run for the White House? Or do you think it's time for him to be the elder statesman and enjoy retirement at Mar-a-Lago? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. We've got a great show. Dinesh D'Souza is coming on today, talking about his big, big movie documentary debuting at Mar-a-Lago later this week. We're going to have a great conversation. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Stearns.
Well, I don't have to tell you folks, America is facing huge challenges. Soaring inflation, alarming crime rates, the worsening crisis at our southern border, and radical ideas being forced on our children. Folks, it's time to join forces with an organization that loves America. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is America's conservative 50-plus organization. My friends at AMAC are action-oriented and fight every day to represent your interest on Capitol Hill with the AMAC Advocacy Team. So join today. Go to amac.us/Stearns and start receiving amazing benefits like discounts on travel, cell phones, and restaurants, all while fighting to preserve America and the causes that conservatives care about. For just $16 a year, you can join forces with AMAC and 2.3 million Americans who share your values. I'm a proud member of AMAC, and you can be one too. Go to amac.us/Stearns and join or renew today. So I never went to the White House Correspondents Association. I mean, why bother? You know, this is what gets me about these conservatives out there at Fox News Channel. Back in the day, we would not go. Roger Ailes didn't want us hanging out with those people. But there is a mindset, and this is the same mindset that the conservative Supreme Court justices have, that once you get to Washington, D.C., there's this effort, there's this pressure to be a part of the cool gang. And what the conservatives didn't realize is they were, in fact, the cool gang. You know, they were the cool kids. So what happens over time is that a lot of these conservatives, in order to boost their bona fides and get invited to the fancy brunches and the cocktail parties where they can sip their apple teenies and eat their quiche, they start surrendering their belief system and their ideology. They sacrifice that ideology on some sort of an altar of political correctness because they want to get along. Oh, but Todd, we have to go to Anderson Cooper's brunch. It's where all the cool kids are going. And that's why you've got people like Bret Baier and Chris Wallace and a bunch of other folks who sneer now at the people who literally pay their paychecks. The good conservative, gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables of America. The people like you, the listeners of this great radio program. And that's why they sneer at people like Tucker Carlson. And I'm going to get to the New York Times piece in just a moment. But let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Tad is listening to us on the talk station. Hey, Tad, what's going on?
Well, you were talking about should President Trump run again or be president or Speaker of the House. And I have to admit, when he first started running, I was like, oh, dear, because all I knew was the Trump from television. But by the time we got to vote for him, I knew Trump, the politician, and he was what we needed to save us. And if the nation was in a good shape right now, then it would be fun to see somebody else be president and him Speaker of the House or him retire. But I really think we need him again, at least one more term, to correct everything that Biden has done and get us back on solid footing again. He needs to really make America great one more time.
So Tad, let me see if I understand this. So you believe that Donald Trump is the only guy right now who can fix what Joe Biden has broken?
Yes.
So let's say that Trump is going to be the guy. He is going to run. He's already said he's not going to pick Pence as his running mate. Who do you think he ought to pick as his running mate?
I would love to see Kristi Noem as his vice president pick.
Now that's interesting, Tad. I mean, a lot of folks love Kristi Noem. She has there were some big problems in South Dakota. She was accused of waffling on some issues and not standing her ground. But I like Kristi Noem. I think Kim Reynolds out of Iowa is rock solid. She's been a governor for a long time there. Probably the most pro-life governor we have in America. I think Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina might make a good
pick. Yes. Sometimes I think these are such good senators. I hate to see them lose that position because they're doing such a wonderful job as a senator. You never know who the next one's going to be.
Here's who I don't think it should be. I don't think it should be Ron DeSantis. I think if Trump is going to run, DeSantis needs to stay, finish out his second term as governor, and then set himself up for the post-Trump Republican Party.
Yes.
Tad, I appreciate your call and good insight there. Folks, Tad says Trump is the only guy that can fix what Biden broke. Do you agree with that? 844-747-8868. Now, over the weekend, Grace Baker got all gussied up, and we went to the big Republican dinner in Shelby County here in Memphis. The Lincoln Dinner. And, you know, one of the things I love about Republicans, they do feed you.
Oh, yes.
And
they feed you meat.
You got a big slab of beef and chicken.
Yes, plenty of food.
And the cheesecake.
Oh, that cheesecake. I'm not a cheesecake kind of gal, but that sucker was pretty good.
So Mark Meadows was the keynote speaker. You had Senator Marsha Blackburn.
Yes.
And Congressman Mark Green was there and Congressman David Kustoff. Great. It was a great moment. But I want to share something with you folks that I found quite interesting. Some of the top Republicans running for office were, in fact, not in attendance. And the rumblings are, and I'm wondering if you guys are starting to see this in your party, in your local party politics. Are you starting to see the establishment Republicans reassert themselves? and try and take back their party. Because it's my understanding there were some Republicans who didn't want to show, who did not show up because they didn't want to be associated with Mark Meadows, who, by the way, was probably one of the best and most effective White House chief of staffs in recent memory. And by the way, Mark Meadows, a great American patriot, a follower of our Lord, and on top of that, he was a great congressman and a great Republican. So I'm curious why some establishment Republicans would not want to support their own political party. It makes no sense to me. Hey, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. ToddStearns.com. Check out our website. You're going to love it. We'll be right back. Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year, and now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right. What is it, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the Todd Stearns radio program, what is it that we tell you every single day on this radio program? We tell you that to be a good news consumer, you've got to make sure you're checking your sources, right? You've got to do that. One of the things that irritates me more than anything else, Grace Baker, is when conservatives spread fake news.
It's the worst.
It bothers me.
It's very bothersome.
It gets under my skin.
Yes.
It's in my craw.
Continue.
So, I've got some messages on the Facebook live stream. Todd Stearns, why aren't you talking about Secretary Vilsack?
Why are they yelling?
I don't know.
Or is that just you?
No, it's, well, I'm just
are you
trying
imagining?
To. No, I'm trying. Yes, they're yelling at the at their laptop right
okay.
now. Stearns, are you a closet liberal? Are you giving cover to the Biden administration? Why aren't you talking about the agricultural secretary?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I did have a salad last night.
Did you have any meat yesterday?
I had tuna. I'm okay. Trying to eat healthy.
How's that going?
I'll get back to you.
Okay.
I'm a little irritable today.
No wonder. Makes
so,
sense.
So it, by the, well, I'll tell you about that story later. So I'm like, well, okay, what's going on with Secretary Vilsack? He was arrested. Why aren't you talking about the agriculture secretary who was arrested? And I'm like, wait, what? So I did some research here, and it turns out that there is a parody website called Real Raw News. And the parody website actually does all these stories about people, celebrities, politicians who have been arrested when, in fact, they have not been arrested. At this very moment, they're also reporting that Sonia Sotomayor, the Supreme Court justice, has been arrested. So I'm not making this up. That's why you've got to read the fine print on these websites here, folks. So anyway, the allegation is the agricultural secretary, Tom Vilsack, was arrested by the military in April. And that is simply not true. It's satire. And it's bad satire because it is... Why? Why would you write something like that? Unless he's trying to tell you that you're no longer allowed to eat meat. I just don't understand why that's even satirical. So all that to say, folks, you got to do your homework here. I can't tell you how many times we've been sent stuff that's just outrageously false. And I mean, we will do our homework. And if you're not sure about something, send it to us and we'll find out. But when you're out there spreading fake news like this, you're just as bad as everybody else. And again, if you're calling yourself Real Raw News, I don't know. I mean, it's not the Babylon Bee, I'll tell you that much. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8860. I want to go to Jerry first in Arkansas. So, Jerry, before we get to talking about what you want to talk about, your governor, Asa Hutchinson, seems to think that he's got the support to be the next president of the United States.
I wouldn't elect him dog catcher.
You see, that's what I thought. I don't think he's very popular in Arkansas right now.
I don't like him. I've never liked him. I think he's crooked, going way back to the MENA airport days when he was the U.S. attorney for that half of the state. And I can't stand him. I was thinking, you know, Mark, the great one, Mark Levine needs to get on the horn with Trump. It's too late already. Trump had already endorsed Huckabee Sanders when Dave Elswick decided he was going to get in the race, I think. So it'd be hard to pull that back. But, yeah, that's another wrong endorsement that Trump's got going on here.
Wait. Hold on. Yeah, hold on a second here. I'm curious about this because I got a call last night from a good friend of mine, Doc Washburn, who used to be the afternoon drive host at KARN in Little Rock.
I'm sorry. I might have said Elswick. I meant Washburn. Yes. Yeah, running.
So Doc is now running for governor. He got fired by Cumulus because he would not get the jab. So now he's running for governor, and he says that most of the donations and the support for Huckabee Sanders is coming from out of state.
Well, I believe that. The only time I ever see her campaign ads is on national networks. I never see them on local television stations.
Well, it is fascinating because, you know, I own the News Talker in Memphis, and that's, our signal goes about 70, 80 miles into the Arkansas interior. And we have not been able to get an interview with Sarah Sanders since she announced. It's the craziest thing, but she will not do local radio, and she will not do national radio unless it's Sean Hannity's show.
But she won't turn down Fox or Newsmax.
It is fascinating. I don't understand why. I think that's a bad move on her part. But again, you know, her team has made the decision that local media doesn't count, and the only national shows are Fox and Sean Hannity.
Yep. When she come back here and said she thought Asa was a fine governor doing a fine job, that's when I knew.
That's interesting. All right, Jerry, let's get to it. We got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in today. So who do you like for Speaker of the House?
Trump. I love Trump. I voted for him twice. I would vote for him again if he runs in the primary and the election. But I don't think we can wait that long. We need Trump back in the game now. And in the long run, I think it would be better off if, what if we had like a carbon copy president ideologically and the polar total opposite in every other way? We need Dr. Ben Carson in the White House with Jim Jordan as his backup and Trump Speaker of the House.
Well, I haven't heard that name in a long time. You know, we had Dr. Carson on the show a while back, and I don't know. I think he may be done with politics, but he'd be a good one. I like Mike Pompeo. I think he would probably do a terrific job as president.
Yeah, I'd rather see Jordan or Carson. But,
all right.
You know, yeah, Pompeo's not bad. But, I'll tell you, Carson would be the ultimate what's the saying? Talk soft, but walk a big. You know the
speak
thing.
Softly and carry a big stick. That's what Teddy Roosevelt used to say.
Yeah, come on, man.
All right, Jerry. Appreciate the appreciate the call, Jerry. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Joe in North Carolina, WSIC, the great station there. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. You were speaking earlier with a caller, and also on Friday with regards to potentials for the Speaker of the House, and you lean towards Trump and another gentleman, I believe Estes?
Yes, Ron Estes out of Kansas, Wichita, Kansas. Okay.
My thinking would be Newt Gingrich. He knows the halls, he knows the ropes, and he's got the background to prove what he did with the contract with America. And if he can get in there, he can do all the prep work for Trump for 2024.
Speaker Newt. That does have a nice ring to it.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking.
All right, Joe.
He's been there and done that.
He has, and I guess he could do it again. Joe, we're writing it down. Speaker Newt. We'll see what happens. I mean, do you folks believe we need a change in leadership? I mean, there are some people out there saying Kevin McCarthy is doing a good job and he should be the Speaker of the House. I just don't see how we can trust the guy. I really don't. Saying one thing in private, another thing in public. I've got a big problem with that. And that's why I have newfound respect for Liz Cheney. At least, yeah, I disagree with her, but at least she's honest. What you see in private is what you get in public. But, yeah, look, Jim Jordan says he doesn't want Speaker of the House. I get that. It may be that we do need a rock-solid conservative who is not somebody who is bombastic, somebody who's a workhorse, somebody that's going to be able to push through legislation. And Ron Estes certainly meets that criteria. And you folks not living in Kansas, you ought to look up this guy and check out his record. He's done a terrific job, and he is a rock-solid, reliable conservative.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud never before seen. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film called 2000 Mules. Directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by Salem Media Group with research from TrueTheVote.org. 2000 Mules tells the story of the ones who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance tapes. You'll see how he tracked their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie and decide for yourself. Attend a limited release premiere of 2000 Mules on May 2nd or May 4th. And check your local listings and get your tickets today at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com. Again, 2000mules.com. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So over at CNN, they are now calling for a crackdown on free speech. They're very concerned about Elon Musk and the takeover of Twitter. And CNN is actually saying publicly that you conservatives do not deserve to have free speech.
I think there's a bigger problem that when we focus on the personalities of people like Elon Musk and people say, oh, I think Elon's thinking this or that. There's a bigger problem here about how we are going to control the channels of communication in this country. In 1927, we had the Radio Act. 1934, the Communications Act. Congress stepped in. We made rules. FCC wasn't great, but it's still regulating the broadcast industry. You can't use vulgar language. You can't do all these things with speech. We gave over our what amounts to our airwaves or our internet waves to Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. And we are in so much trouble because those guys believe in making money. We've already seen that with the 2016 election in Zuckerberg when he was taking rubles for ads from Russia and saying, oh, I think it's crazy to think they had any influence on this election. Musk is the same. Musk doesn't want it. You know, he's upset with the SEC, tried to, how dare they question him? You know what I'm saying? This is dangerous. We can't think anymore in this country. We don't have people. No, I'm serious. We don't have people in Congress who can make regulations that can make it work. I think we can look to the Western countries in Europe for how they are trying to limit it. But you need controls on this. You need regulation. You cannot let these guys control discourse in this country, or we are headed to hell. We are there. Trump opened the gates of hell, and now they're chasing us down.
All right, let me explain what's going on here. These people are, they still haven't gotten over the fact that Fox News Channel and Newsmax have more of an audience than they have. For generations, the legacy media, the drive-by media in this country controlled every single thing you saw in the evening news. It was not news unless ABC, CBS, NBC, or CNN told you it was news. They controlled everything. And not to mention the Associated Press and United Press International, UPI. So they had a monopoly on the news industry in America. And then along comes Roger Ailes, who said, you know what, there's more to the news that's being told on ABC, CBS, and NBC. And in just a matter of a few years, Fox News became the number one cable news channel, and it has stayed there. And then along comes Newsmax, and guess what? They're making incredible grounds and gaining incredible ground on all of the other cable news channels, and will very soon be at least the number two, and I suspect they're going to be able to take on Fox News Channel and win that fight. But this is all about shutting down dissenting viewpoints. Now, back when Roger Ailes was running Fox News, we had a slogan, and this thing was pounded into our brains. I'll never forget this. Day one, working at Fox News Channel, we got to be fair and balanced. We've got to be fair and balanced in our news product. If you're going to be talking to the Democrats, you better be talking to the Republicans and vice versa. And I love that about Roger Ailes. But he also said, you know what? We're about God and country and family and American sovereignty and the military. Those are important things to us. And we're going to tell those stories as well. You see, it wasn't the news coverage that made Fox News so beloved. It was the fact that we told stories that nobody else would tell. That's why they're coming after Tucker Carlson. We're going to get to that later on in the program today. But the New York Times is waging right now, ladies and gentlemen, a public lynching of Tucker Carlson. They want to destroy this man. And why is that? Because he's talking about the issues we talk about and the issues that matter to you. You see what's happening in our country. You see that millions of people coming across our southern border is meant for only one thing. They want a new population in America. The Democrats want a new population they can control. It's very simple. And everybody's starting to see this, including black Americans. And we've got some great polling data, and we'll share that with you in the next hour. But black polling data showing that black Americans are onto the Democrat Party. And they are turning off the Democrats, and they're beginning to embrace Republicans because they see what's going on. So for the Democrats, the jig is up. And that's why they want to open up the borders. They want this country overrun by illegal aliens for several reasons, most importantly for power. But they also want the illegals to cause instability. And that's why they're being shipped to small towns and cities across America, because they know you folks cannot handle the influx of illegals. So they want to destabilize the nation. And once the nation is destabilized, they can come in, and there's a possibility they could declare martial law. They could do it because they know the jig is up. They know what's coming in the midterm elections. They know they're going to be destroyed. Unless, of course, the Republicans screw things up, which they're very good at doing. But let's just assume they don't. It's over for the Democrats. They're desperate. They are cornered. And just like when you corner one of those animals like a raccoon or an armadillo, you know what's going to happen. They're going to fight back. They're going to try to smack you around. They're very dangerous. And the Democrats are in a dangerous spot right now, which is why we've got to pay very close attention to what's coming across that border. You know, one of the things that just greatly concerns me, it's not necessarily the mom and dad, the illegal alien mom and dad coming here to try to find a job. What concerns me are the able-bodied young men that are walking across that border, clearly they're not living lives of distress. They're wearing they're wearing shoes that cost $150, $200. They're wearing designer clothes. They've got these designer backpacks. And even those guys are not the really scary folks. The really scary folks are the known terrorists that have been unleashed on American soil by the Democrats. They've let these people loose. Do not be surprised if something happens between now and Election Day. I'm just telling you, it's that serious of a situation. We'll get into more of that coming up after the top of the hour news. And you may think I'm off my rocker here, folks, and I would love to hear from you if you do. 844-747-8868. No, Grace, you can't call in. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Sturge Radio Show. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I noted this the other day, but I think that's important for your question here, is that the president, we made a decision. It was important to him to attend the dinner to honor the work of journalists, all of you, many of your colleagues around the world, something the former president didn't do.
Oh, geez. All right. That's Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, weighing in on the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which was over the weekend. They call it the Nerd Prom. A lot of folks get dressed up, and one of the groups that was there happened to be Newsmax, which is surging and doing incredibly well in the ratings. Millions of people tuning in to watch Newsmax because they know they're going to get that great, fair, and balanced coverage. One of the people as a part of the Newsmax team there, our good friend, the White House correspondent, James Rosen, who is also right now in the White House press briefing room. And James, if they get ready to start, just tell us we got to go, and we understand. But welcome back to the show.
I think we're good on time, and it's great to be back with you.
James, I'd love to get your take on the big festivities over the weekend.
Well, it was the first one I had attended in about 5 years, probably the 17th or 18th that I have attended over the course of my career. It was rather like the previous entries. Of course, this year was a bit different because it was the first time the dinner was being held at all since 2019. And the first time in 6 years that we had the President of the United States attend, because President Trump boycotted it for all 4 years of his term. In terms of the jokes and so forth, President Biden, I'll tell you, never seemed more electric and animated and alive and engaged as a speaker than when he was delivering his jokes. Once he turned serious and started discussing Ukraine and other serious matters, the President returned more to the form with which we are all familiar. Almost somnambulant in speaking style and more difficult to follow. His jokes were aimed at himself. At one or two points, when he came out and was greeted by applause, he said, "I want to thank the 42% of you who are applauding." He said, "It's good to be in a room with the only set of people whose approval ratings are lower than my own." He also directed some gentle barbs at his predecessor at the news media and so forth. In terms of the MC, Trevor Noah of Comedy Central, he acquitted himself well. I don't think he destroyed the room at any particular point or killed the room, to use sort of stand-up comedy vernacular. He kept it mostly classy and I would say returned the event to the forum as the White House Correspondents Association sought. His treatment of President Biden by stand-up comedy standards was certainly gentle, because there are certain stand-up comedians, some of whom have emceed this dinner in the past, some of whom we might see on platforms like the Comedy Central Roast, who I think would have been less gentle with the president. But all in all, I think, as to borrow from the Beatles, a splendid time was had by almost all.
Yeah, I thought Noah did a good job. And you're right, he didn't go destroy President Biden and stayed away from some of the foibles and the misstatements and all that kind of stuff. But I thought that last line, and you had to listen real close because it happened at the very end when he said, please be careful leaving tonight. We all know this administration doesn't handle evacuations well. Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, it was really swallowed by – he didn't really deliver it in a way that was – it seemed ensured that people would hear it. Now, in terms of, you know, the sort of celebrity gawking, I'm in a position to report for our listeners that I did spend a few minutes, very briefly, chatting with Kim Kardashian's boyfriend, the Saturday Night Live comedian Pete Davidson. I had tried to get in touch with him once before without success, and I saw my opportunity. I took it, shook his hand, and told him that I attended middle school with his father, Scott Davidson, on Staten Island. His father, of course, perished as a firefighter in 9/11, mm-hmm. So Pete has never really known his dad. And I told him that if he wanted to hear my recollections of his dad, whom I got to know well over 3 years of being in the same class with him, to follow me on Twitter at James Rosen TV, an invitation I renew here.
Is that right? That's fascinating. And a lot of people may not realize that Pete's father was in fact a firefighter, one of the great heroes of that day.
Yeah, and I got to know his dad well, and I told him he was a charismatic young man for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and better looking than you. And he was gracious about it all.
That's great. And which Kardashian was this? I really don't follow them.
This would be the Uber Kardashian, Kim herself.
Oh, that's...
Her boyfriend now is Pete Davidson.
The Alpha Kardashian.
This may be the breaking news I have to deliver here in this format, but yes.
You always come loaded for bear on this program, James Rosen. I'm curious. There was switching subjects. There was a fascinating interview on CNN over the weekend with the authors of the new tell-all book. Jonathan Martin, one of the co-authors, talking
Alex
about
Burns, yeah.
Yes, and Alex Burns, and the whole they were talking about the tension between the Biden staff and Kamala Harris's staff, and she was upset because they would not stand when she came into the room. Have you heard any of this?
Well, there are some whispers of friction. Of course, such whispers attend just about every presidential vice presidential relationship, and particularly the relationships between the respective staffs. Some have noted, for example, that the frequency with which Mr. Biden holds his weekly lunch with the vice president has dipped rather well below weekly. Some others have noted that Vice President Harris doesn't seem to appear on the president's daily schedule as receiving jointly with him the presidential daily brief every day, as used to be the case. And so these are sort of what we might call Kremlinology or the reading of tea leaves. Of course, publicly, every statement made by either is fully supportive of the other, and Mr. Biden has said flatly that he intends to run for re-election in 2024 with the vice president as his running mate once more.
All right, James Rosen on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Newsmax. I will say this before we have to let you go, James. I was somewhat disappointed that you did not get to spar with James Corden in the White House briefing room skit they did.
Yes, the sparring that took place in that session was about as real as the staged, computerized fight between Rocky Marciano and Muhammad Ali, broadcast in closed-circuit film theaters in 1970. Muhammad Ali lost to an aging Rocky Marciano who was wearing a toupee in the film sequences, and after it was all over, Ali said that the computer that generated that result must have been manufactured in Alabama. But... That's about as real as that session with James Corden.
I love it. James, always appreciate your great insight. I'm glad that you and Pete are BFFs now, and all is well with the world. It's
Thank you, Todd.
All right, James Rosen, White House correspondent, and does a terrific job over there bringing the news to you over at Newsmax TV. Oh, my goodness. Grace, do you follow the Kardashians?
Much like the British royals, no. I do not. I mean, very loosely, I've seen stuff about them, but I've never watched the show. I've never been into that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not a big...
Like, I'll see the headlines, but I don't really pay any actual attention. I knew that Kim and Pete were dating. I knew that. But that's pretty easy to know.
I made a cameo on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on an airplane.
Well,
I was on an airplane with the. Who is it? Was it Nene? Is that
Again,
Nene?
I don't know.
Nene. No, it's what do you? You whip the Nene, and
oh,
then it's
my.
Nene. Nene is.
Watch me whip. Watch me Nene.
Nene, but so I don't think her name is Nene, but I believe her name is Nene.
Okay.
I get very confused. Anyway, very nice lady.
Close enough.
A very nice lady, but I was sitting in first class. It was one of these deals where you had, there were not many seats in the first class cabin.
Sure.
And I realized I'm the only person sitting in first class. I thought, well, that's weird. And then all of a sudden, after everyone boarded, this massive entourage comes on, and it's the cast of Real Housewives.
You
what are you laughing at?
I'm just imagining you sitting there alone in this whole, like, parade. Mm-hmm. Of just soup, you know, just that image.
They were all very nice, but
good.
Clearly there was some drama going on.
Well, of course.
And so I ask the flight attendant, I'm like, who are these folks? Are they celebrities? And he goes, are you kidding me? This is like the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
How do you not know?
Like, I love them. Oh, and the flight attendant was
fabulous.
Very happy. He was a big, oh, they're fabulous. I mean, he was very excited about the fact that we had the Housewives on. And I'm like, oh, okay. Can I have?
Cool.
Yeah, I just wanted a Baptist martini. That's all.
I'm sure.
But anyway, they were filming, and I was in one of the shots, and so that's
wow.
My cameo role. And I'm the white guy.
So
if you see somebody, that's me. That's yours truly.
Is that your one like art cameo? You know, movies, TV shows, that sort of thing.
I've had a couple of TV appearances.
Do you have an acting career on the side?
No.
Alter ego?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not me. And it's, you know, it was funny. Someone suggested, they do this thing in New York City, which is sort of weird, but I guess kind of cool. But they allow reporters and journalists who are, I guess, at the networks,
mm-hmm.
they'll let them do like a walk-on role for a Broadway show.
Oh.
You know, you'll have like a little brief appearance. And
you mean
it's
you didn't want to do jazz hands?
No, I'm good. I'm not good at jazz hands. I'm just not.
I can see you. You should have gone on Hamilton. I know it's your favorite.
Oh, I'm not sure you want to see me rap. I rapped. You know, I rapped once on Fox News, and I got called downstairs.
Yeah, that. I'm sure you nearly got fired for that.
No, not necessarily. Well, I was under contract, so they're not
they
going to fire you.
Okay, well, they give.
But they can not renew your contract, which they did. But anyway, I was rapping the theme song to the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, no.
And I thought it was pretty entertaining. Fox management did not.
I'm sure it was entertaining, just probably not for the reasons you intended.
True. All right, look, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. No, I'm not going to rap. 844-747-8868. Folks, before we go to break, I want you to go right now to toddstearns.com, and you need to do a couple of things. First, you need to download my podcast. We are now one of the fastest growing podcasts in all of America, ranked number 58. And we need you to help us out by downloading the podcast on various platforms, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, you name it. But we want you to download our podcast. You can do that at toddstearns.com. That's toddstearns.com. And while you're there, also sign up for our free newsletter that comes out every single day. And it gives you fair, balanced, and accurate news and information. And folks, we need accuracy in journalism. And that's why we've hired some of the best journalists in the country to work on our website. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, did you catch a little faux pas? I just think this is funny. The left is going nuts.
Oh, Trump is senile. He's senile. He can't be president.
So Trump was doing a big rally. I think it was in Nebraska over the weekend, and he forgot who he endorsed in the Ohio Senate race. Here's what the president said.
That's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for one race. You know, we've endorsed Dr. Oz. We've endorsed JP, right? J.D. Mandel, and he's doing great. They're all doing good.
No, Mr. President. That's J.D. Vance. That's the person you endorsed. Look, the guy's endorsed thousands of candidates, so I'm going to give him a pass here. I mean, look, if you've done public speaking, you're going to make a mistake every now and again, but the mainstream media is going bonkers over this. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz, now this is interesting. Ted Cruz is on the campaign trail in Ohio, and he's actually supporting Josh Mandel, who is running against J.D. Vance. Here's what Senator Ted Cruz had to say.
When I look to candidates, I don't look to what they say on the stump, because they all say the same darn thing. Yeah. Every candidate says, I love Donald Trump. No, I love Donald Trump more. No, I have Donald Trump tattooed on my rear end.
It's true. It really is true. And that's why I don't trust any of these. I do not trust these never Trumpers. I don't think I got a problem with it. Let me ask you this. Do you really think that J.D. Vance is a true blue Trump conservative? Now, it would be one thing if he was like, and there are a lot of people like me who during the campaign, during the primaries back in 2016, you supported somebody else. But guess what happened? When Trump became the nominee, I got on board the Trump train, and I haven't gotten off. But people like J.D. Vance took it a step further. And when you call Donald Trump Hitler, I have a hard time believing that your fundamental value system has changed. I sincerely do. And the other issue with J.D. Vance, and I know this may sound like a minuscule problem. It may just be sort of, Starnes is just finding something to gripe about. But a couple of weeks ago, there was a big debate. And a couple of the candidates, the Republican candidates, nearly came to blows. You might remember this. We played the audio on the show. And I mean, it got ugly and tense. And the Mandel and somebody else, they got nose to nose. And it looked like there was going to be a knockdown, drag out fight. After it had been calmed, at that point, J.D. Vance rises up and says, "All right, men, break it up. We've got to separate here." And it's like, wait, dude, where were you like 5 minutes ago, pal? So he wanted to make sure there wasn't some sort of a confrontation. He didn't want to be in. He didn't want to get slugged. It was kind of like the chicken way out. And then he utters an explicative and uses God's name in vain. I got a problem with that. Is somebody eating tuna fish? Grace Baker, why do I smell tuna?
Because producer Kyle's eating tuna.
Okay.
That's why I'm plugging my nose over here.
I was wondering what's going on over there.
I can barely talk into the microphone.
All right.
I can't stand that smell. I can't stand the smell of like fishy stuff, cilantro, and broccoli. Those are my three smells.
So at Fox News, I can't name names because this person is a dear friend of mine.
Uh-oh.
But this friend of mine, and I'm going to do my best not to identify the gender.
Mm-hmm.
But this friend of mine was a very healthy eater. And every morning, this friend of mine at like 5 a.m., back before, you know, Fox News Channel was a slum building before they renovated it,
sure,
like the year I left. So we're down in the communal kitchen.
Uh-oh.
And trying to get, because every morning, this was great, every morning they would have free bagels.
Well, so that's a nice perk.
You'd go down and get a bagel.
Smear it.
You smear the bagel. And then you got, you know, a cup of coffee. But you had to go in there before this friend of mine would put her broccoli, dadgummit, I said her, would put the broccoli in the microwave.
Oh, no.
And you could smell it.
No.
The Fox and Friends set reeked of broccoli in the microwave.
Oof.
Oh, it was terrible. So if you want to know something worse than, one of the worst smells in the world is broccoli in the microwave being steamed at like 5 a.m.
Ew. Yeah, first thing in the morning, no thank you.
All that to say, I just don't trust these guys like J.D. Vance. Sorry.
Well, I'm still going to say no. The people who eat that, yeah.
No. We trust Kyle, our audio engineer, who does a wonderful job. And tuna is a very healthy fish to eat. It's the chicken of the sea. But back to Ted Cruz. This is fascinating. I just cannot trust, and I just can't bring myself to a point where I can trust people like the J.D. Vances of the world. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? These candidates who are never Trumpers, and now they're all of a sudden, they have been born again. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Again, ToddStarnes.com. Sign up for the podcast. It's going to change your life, I can promise you. All right, we'll be right back. All right, I was watching Netflix over the weekend. So Friday, this has been a busy weekend for us. So we had the huge Republican dinner on Friday, came home Friday night and binge watched Ozark because part two finally came out, the finale of the whole thing. And then the following day, Saturday, we were at the Culture Engagement Summit, and it was great to see you folks out there for that. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But anyway, how disappointing was that? I'm like, really? That's how you're going to, I'm not going to give away the ending because some of you haven't finished it yet, but I'm like, really?
I might not be coming to work tomorrow.
What, you loved it, Kyle?
I loved it. I didn't
really,
I haven't finished it, obviously, because it just came out, but now that you say that, I think I might be pulling an all-nighter tonight and not coming in tomorrow.
I'm curious to see your reaction to the ending, the finale.
I'll let you know.
Don't go on social media, though, because it'll tell, people are like spilling the beans.
Oh, goodness. I try to avoid it when good stuff comes out.
All that to say, I was just thoroughly disappointed with part two of the final season.
Now you're not making me too excited.
Which, quite frankly, explains one of the reasons why Netflix stock is in the toilet. And by the way, Netflix now deciding to cancel the animated series coming from Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex. That's Harry's wife. She wears the pants in that household. And it's not looking good. Netflix is the stock market is in the toilet. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are honored to have with us our good friend, the founder of Timothy Plan, Art Alley. Art, hope you're doing good.
Shame on you, man.
I know.
Netflix.
I know.
We dumped that years ago.
I know, Art. I'm a bad person.
Saying there aren't some good things on there. But go see 2,000 Mules, man.
Well, we're going to have Dinesh D'Souza on a little bit later in the program, and we're going to be talking about his new movie, Art. And
powerful.
It is going to be a powerful film. And honestly, one of the reasons I initially got Netflix, that was one of the few places that you could see all of these family-friendly, faith-based films back in the day. So
things have changed.
Boy, have they. You're not kidding. Yeah. Art, are you surprised by this, that people are beginning to turn off, cable channels like Netflix, and they're embracing something else, or maybe they're just getting rid of cable altogether?
Well, I think there is a great awakening. I think God's hand has been in this. He has squeezed us. He has pushed us. I mean, America has been in trouble for a long time because we've gotten way too comfortable and, do what you want, and, I'm not paying attention. Well, it's like they said in Nazi Germany, I didn't pay too much attention until they started knocking on my door. And, brother, they're knocking on our door right now, and I am encouraged to see the level of engagement, people, from school board meetings to all the rest. They're starting to say enough is enough. This is the greatest country in the history of the world, and we're not going to let you destroy it. And that gives me hope.
Year to date, Netflix, their stock has taken a nosedive more than 68%. The worst performing stock in the S&P 500 this year. That's according to the New York Times. And they've lost around 200,000 subscribers from the last quarter. That tells me that the viewers are making a statement, and clearly Netflix management is not getting the message.
You bet. And they have made some pretty stupid decisions thinking, you know, that that they're dealing with unthinking people out there. So when you drop it, that makes 200,001 that have left them.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do that. I just it just frustrates me.
I know you are, cuz we're going to talk again soon and I'm going to ask you.
Thank you, Art. Great.
You're welcome.
But you know, it's but there were some programs like The Crown, you know, other, you know, kind of the historical dramas, and you wish you can get those. You know, I'm making excuses now, Art. I feel
I'm under
conviction.
Rationalize, right?
That's it.
But they have some good, but they have a lot of bad. I mean, it has been bad for a long time.
It's terrible. Art Alley with us, the founder of the Timothy Plan, and we're going to talk about Timothy Plan in just a moment. But Art, you know, another big story is Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. He is sticking to it, and I tell you, Disney is in a free fall right now. I heard their stock down, 30%. Are they going to get the message, or do you think they're locked in?
I'm afraid there is a lot of lock-in. I actually was at a dinner with Ron DeSantis last week, and he gave us the backstory on that. And boy, I'll tell you what, we have the greatest governor in all of America, and I wish people would just leave him alone, because we want one more full term as governor. We don't want him running as president yet. But boy, did he take them on, and you don't mess with Ron DeSantis. I mean, Disney, they met more than their match. They've been running roughshod over Florida for years, and of course their headquarters is in Burbank. You know, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to let a company in Burbank, California dictate what happens in Florida. But they have spit in the face of their major audience, the families with kids and all of that. It makes no sense other than, I don't know, I think the war has got to be spiritual. There's no other explanation.
No,
nobody in authority would make the kind of stupid decisions they did. You'd reach out to your base, man. And they have turned their back on their base for the objective, I guess, of going totally woke.
It's troubling.
I love that saying, go woke, go broke. We need to be using that, just like, I'm not going to say go Brandon, but I would have said that. Go woke, go broke.
I love it. I love it. And Art, you know, again, looking at Disney, there are so many different components to that story. But to me, the overarching issue is that management says, we are grooming your children. And that should terrify every mom, dad, grandma, grandpa in America.
Well, Todd, you know, people think this is something new. We are 28 years old. We have screened out Disney every one of those 28 years because they have been meddling in unseemly stuff for years. But now everybody's so bold, they're just out front with it. It's not hidden anymore. And to do what they've done is just, you know, kind of borders on stupid, actually.
Art, you guys at Timothy Plan have a mission, and I love this. You say, quit investing in organizations trying to destroy us. It's common sense, and a lot of people may not be aware that the corporations they are invested in are actually using that money to support things that violate our faith as Christians.
Well, there's no question about it. And the average person, I mean, they're not in the industry. They use advice from their financial advisor or whoever of how should I invest. And it's just like it's a divorced from aligning your values with how you're investing the money God has entrusted to you. But people are increasingly waking up. And that is encouraging to us because, Todd, if we would really just step up and say, you know what, if this company is pursuing an unholy agenda, I will not put a dime of my investment in their stock. If everybody who claims to be a Christian in America would simply do that, America would change overnight, because it's always about the money, and these companies are caving in to the woke culture because all they're hearing from is the other side. They put a lot of pressure on these companies to be doing this, you know, and we're so nice, we said, it's none of my business. Well, it is our business. This is our country. The governmental industrial complex is now in cahoots with each other, and they're trying to take us down. And we're helping them by just carelessly investing in the shares of stock of these companies. And my encouragement is, people are waking up, and we're here for them. We will not own one share of any company trying to destroy us.
I love this. Folks, Timothy Plan recently achieved $2 billion under investment. And how do they do that? By doing deep research and following that advice. Quit investing in organizations trying to destroy us. Art, I know the website, timothyplan.com. That's timothyplan.com. What can people find when they go to timothyplan.com?
Well, Todd, even I can navigate that website, and that was part of my requirement. I said, make it so simple that I can do it. One of the things that my favorite part is right on the homepage, and it has to do with the fact that we really don't understand how to handle money biblically, whether it's how you spend it, how you earn it, how you invest it, how you're in debt with it, how you're planning your estate with it. God's Word is replete with advice of handling money, more so than any other subject. And I asked myself at first, why would this be? And then it was obvious. He knew where we'd get in trouble. All of our training handling money comes from the world's perspective, not the church or God's Word. So I hibernated and created a 9-hour biblical study course that we are giving to anybody who wants it. If they go to our website and just click on it, it's right on the homepage, Biblical Stewardship Study Course. It's free. It's 9 hours. You can take it in 10-minute segments if you want. It's enjoyable to go through, but it really does expose how the world's way and God's way are exactly opposite. And it's time we started doing things His way, because you know what?
Yep.
His way works only every time.
Well said. That's amazing how that works.
Art,
always good having you on the program. And timothyplan.com, folks, is the website. Art, looking forward to having you back about a week or so from now.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. It's always fun to talk to you.
All right.
Keep up the good work, man.
A great American patriot, an incredible money guy, and just a devout follower of the Lord. He is the founder and president of Timothy Plan. Folks, timothyplan.com. You got to check out that website. That's timothyplan.com. All right, here's what we're going to do, Grace. We're going to go to a break. We've got Michelle and Mike want to weigh in on J.D. Vance. And also, we have some news breaking. President Trump says he's heading to Wyoming for a big rally. That's Liz Cheney country, so that ought to be interesting, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. By the way, folks, got to tell you about our good friends over at Patriot Mobile. Man, do they have some great deals just for our listeners. It's super incredible to switch over to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. By the way, you talk about, you know, investing. Well, a lot of that has to do with where you get your phone service. And a lot of these liberal companies are supporting horrible, horrible groups, but not Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They have incredible nationwide coverage and plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for veterans and first responders. It's super simple. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. You can also call their U.S.-based customer service team, 972-PATRIOT. Folks, when you do, be sure to use my promo code Todd, and they're going to hook you up with some incredible discounts. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Yeah.
some good news. The godless heathen atheist of Boston going down in defeat today. This is a fascinating story. We're going to be talking to our good friend Matt Staver. He actually represented the organization, a Christian organization, in the case. The Supreme Court ruling earlier today that it is legal, yes, legal, to fly the Christian flag outside of City Hall in Boston. And it had been taken down. The city leaders said they would be happy to fly a gay pride flag or a Black Lives Matter flag, but they can't fly the Christian flag. Well, here's the shocking part of the story, folks. We're talking about a unanimous decision. Everybody agreed that Boston City Hall violated the Constitution. So there you go. Great day in Boston for Christians and for religious liberty. Let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Michelle in Ohio wants to weigh in on J.D. Vance. Hi, Michelle. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
So, the fact that he was an ever-Trumper, that's a red flag for me. Trump has taught us to kind of look outside of the establishment, and the one thing we don't need is to have somebody again in that seat where they're, you know, a deep stater. And then Ohio gun owners had put out some information that he's very tight with Silicon Valley. That's a red flag for me. I just have a weird feeling about him. And that's why I wouldn't be voting for him.
You know, it's one thing to say, okay, yeah, I opposed Trump during the presidential race or whatever and got on board. But his conversion to Donald Trump came way late. And quite frankly, it looks to me like he's playing politics here.
I felt the same way. And I was very confused as to why Trump gave his endorsement, just like with Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania. To me, he's still not being fed some good information, and who's feeding them that information? So,
you can add, you know, Michelle, you can add the Senate race in Nevada to that. You've got a gubernatorial race in Georgia, and there are some folks in North Carolina who feel like he made the wrong pick in North Carolina. A lot of conservatives supporting former Congressman Mark Walker in that race. So there is a pattern here, and I hope it doesn't come back and bite the president in the behind, because the president is a good and decent and honorable man. I just feel like he's being fed bad intel about these folks.
I totally agree, and I wish that for me, I'm looking for somebody who's a dark horse, somebody who is more of a constitutionalist, and so I'm looking at candidates outside of what the Republican Party has put their back behind.
All right. Michelle, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there. What say you, sir? Hello, Mike. All right, Mike must have gone away. All right, sorry about that, folks. By the way, Grace Baker, have you heard of a new term called fictosexual?
What?
Fictosexual.
No.
This is an honest-to-goodness story. This is not made up. A Japanese man married a hologram bride.
Oh, no.
And now he's struggling to bond with her because apparently... I'm not making this up. Apparently, tech support broke down, and he has no way to contact his make-believe bride.
So you could say that they are very disconnected right now.
Oh, that's very good. You know, it's funny. There was a guy, and this is a true story, but they call it fictosexual. He got married to a fictional computer-synthesized pop singer 4 years ago. And he cannot communicate with his bride because tech support no longer has the software needed to fix the problem.
So what you're saying is he needs to upgrade to the younger model.
I love it. You know, we had a guy, remember the guy, and was it Boston, who got married to his laptop?
Yes, and we've had people get married to plants.
Yeah, but yeah. Apparently, yeah, I think there was a concern about it coming down with a virus or something.
Oh.
I don't know. Don't want to download
that.
You
had to one-up me.
All right, we'll be right back, America. Jeez, a little.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Good to have you with us this hour. By the way, Dinesh D'Souza is going to be dropping by a little bit later on. His new movie debuts this week, and we'll be talking about that. I mentioned this amazing story out of Boston where City Hall banished the Christian flag. You could fly a Black Lives Matter flag or a gay pride flag, but you could not fly the Christian flag. Well, a lawsuit was filed, and the Supreme Court ruling just moments ago coming out that Boston City Hall violated the Constitution by banning the Christian flag. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are honored to have the attorney in that case representing the good Christian people of Boston, our good friend from Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver. Matt, first of all, welcome to the show. Second, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you. And in fact, this is a great decision to have a 9-0 decision. It's very rare. And to have it on this case with the religious free speech and the Christian flag is really an amazing message that it sends across the country.
Were you surprised that it was a unanimous decision?
You know, Todd, I don't usually predict the outcome of a Supreme Court case, but in this particular one, I told our staff we could possibly have a 9-0 decision, and that was based upon the response and the arguments during the argument of January 18 when I presented the case. They did not seem receptive at all to Boston. I thought at least we'd have a supermajority, but I said also it's possible we could get 9-0, because even Justice Breyer actually wrote this case. He actually said, and it's very disconcerting if you're the city of Boston, why didn't Boston just settle this case? And Justice Kagan said to the city of Boston attorney, you know, you made a mistake. Why didn't you settle it and move on? Why did you keep on litigating? Why did you keep on going forward? So when you have those two justices making those kind of questions to the other side and asking those kinds of statements, you know it's not a good day if you're the one who's the recipient. So I felt very good about this. But I think, you know, you never know until you know. And now we have a 9-0 decision that I think is a great decision for free speech across the board.
Matt, is this one of these landmark cases? Will this apply to every city hall across America?
Yeah, it sure will. It's not just a flag case involving a Christian flag. In this particular situation, they censored the flag because of the word Christian on the application. It said the flag itself was okay, just call it anything else. So it clearly was that they went for 12 years with no censorship, 284 flags approved, no censored flags until this one, and it was only because of the word Christian on the application. So they censored the word Christian because, in their view, it was disfavored speech. And so now this will send a strong message, not only for this case and the facts of this case, but for disfavored speech, particularly religious speech across the country, that it can't be excluded from these public forums. It's not an orphan to the First Amendment. In fact, it's protected by the Free Speech and Free Exercise Clause. And I think that is a strong message that comes out of today's decision.
Matt Staver is the founder of Liberty Counsel. Huge Supreme Court victory, 9-0 decision, unanimous decision. And I was, again, surprised, pleasantly surprised, that it was Justice Stephen Breyer, as you said, who wrote the opinion.
Well, you know, with on the heels of what just happened last week with the Department of Homeland Security's, you know, this disinformation governance board that wants to censor your viewpoints on a wide variety of things, I think this is a great decision that says, no, the First Amendment is very strong, and it does not allow this censorship by the government. We have a robust free speech clause in the United States, and it includes, obviously, religious free speech. So I was not surprised that we got a 9-0 decision. I was certainly glad to see it in print. I was surprised that Breyer was the one who wrote the decision. I think that even sends a stronger message that no matter where you are on this court, we have a strong decision, and that message should be heard loud and clear by these government censors across the country.
You see, I'm with you, Matt. It seemed to me that the court was signaling or trying to send a message by Justice Breyer writing that. I mean, it could have been any of the conservative justices, but him specifically, I was very impressed with that.
Yeah, me too. And in fact, I never thought, I told my wife, Anita, I said, you know, I never thought that we would see the day where we would have Justice Breyer writing the Supreme Court decision on our case in our favor. And here it is, 9-0. So I think that was intentionally done to send a strong message that there's unanimity across the court on this issue. And I think that message alone is emphasized by this 9-0 decision, emphasized by who wrote this decision, Justice Breyer.
Matt, you referenced the decision coming out last week to create what, this de facto ministry of truth. You know, a lot of people are talking about how this originated, and some are pointing back to Barack Obama, suggesting that maybe this was his idea. You know, Obama has been out there giving speeches calling for crackdowns on free speech. How concerned are you that this is going to impact Americans in a pretty horrible way?
Oh, I'm very concerned. And, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat from Hawaii, actually says that it likely goes back to Barack Obama and refers to his speeches that he's been making recently about censoring speech. He's been pushing for more censorship on social media. And, of course, you know, guess what? We're just right coming up on the midterm election. And so we've already seen statements from the people that are pushing this, that they want to censor misinformation, disinformation about the election, including COVID and other things. So anything that doesn't go with their narrative, they want to censor it, and they want to do it under the Department of Homeland Security, put this federal law enforcement agency to censor free speech. I think it goes right back to Barack Obama. I think Barack Obama is calling a lot of the shots in this current Biden administration anyway, but I think this is a direct manifestation of his vision to censor America, and I think it's very dangerous.
You know, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. You show up at the airport going through a TSA checkpoint, they pull you aside. Sorry, Mr. Stearns, you can't get on board this airplane because of things you've been saying about President Biden or the Biden administration. That's not out of the realm of possibility here.
No, it's not, you know, and Tulsi Gabbard actually called this the, you know, Ministry of Truth, which harkens back to the George Orwell 1984 book. I mean, who would have ever thought that George Orwell's 1984 book would be a living reality that we're seeing right now? But under this administration, under the, really, you have Obama, Biden third term, if you will, and I think he's pulling a lot of the strings. But when you look at this creation, I mean, they're not even subtle about it. They come out and actually call it a governance board that will look at disinformation, misinformation, and then they have Nina Jankovic, who is the executive director. I mean, you couldn't have a more terrible person on free speech as the executive director. So they're pretty clear what they want to do. They want to censor you, Todd. They want to restrict you, and they want to do it with law enforcement. They want to do that to everyone that they disagree with.
And if people, you know, listening, they might, well, this is just that you're blowing this out of proportion. Matt, this is the same administration that reported moms and dads who complained at school board meetings to the FBI. This is the same administration that dispatched squads of health department officials to knock on people's doors to find out whether or not they've been vaccinated. So I think it is very possible for them to do the same thing with this.
I agree. And this is the same administration that says that men can give birth to children. So, I mean, talk about a ministry of truth, you know, a disinformation. You know, that's their kind of information that they think is true. And if you say, well, no, men can't give birth to children. Men are men. Women are women. Oh, that's misinformation. That's disinformation. We're going to punish you. We're going to stop you. We're going to cause you to be censored on the social media platforms. But I think it's more than that. Not just censorship, it's punishment as well. Otherwise, why would they put it under the Department of Homeland Security looking at this as a national security threat?
It's a great point. Matt, we're going to have to leave it there. Now, normally, you know, when you celebrate, you would go to Disney World, but you can't do that, clearly. Now, what are you going to do? How are you celebrating the big win?
Well, you know, I like to eat out, so Anita and I, my wife and I, will eat. But, you know, we just give thanks to the Lord here for this great victory. And we'll go to some other place besides Disney. We've got a lot of other places here in Central Florida besides Mickey Mouse Land.
All right. Matt Staver, congratulations. Great job. And I know the people in Massachusetts are celebrating this great victory.
Well, certainly. And out of all places, the cradle of liberty should have never had this happen. Yeah. But now liberty has returned, finally.
All right. Matt Staver, everybody, from Liberty Council. And that big win up in Boston at the Supreme Court. By the way, Grace, interesting story out of Oregon, and I'm certain our Oregon listeners are going to be furious about this.
Ruh-roh.
So this is your tax dollars at work, Oregon. schools in Oregon will soon be required to place menstrual products, lady products, in all restrooms, including the boys' bathroom.
What a waste. That's all I got to say. What a waste. They're not going to use them.
It's called the Menstrual Dignity Act, signed into law. No, this is a law on the books.
Dignity Act?
Yes, the Menstrual Dignity Act. Signed into law by Governor Kate Brown, and it requires, I'm not kidding here, folks, it requires lady products to be provided in bathrooms for elementary school, middle school, and high schools, in boys' and girls' bathrooms. Mm. Quote, the program helps students participate actively in classes and school activities by alleviating some of the economic strain and experiences of shame that are often barriers for menstruating students accessing their education. This is a direct quote from the Oregon Department of Education's Menstrual Dignity for Student Toolkit. And this is coming from television station KATU.
You can't make this stuff up.
No. Portland Public Schools says it's taking a phased approach. Are they going to start with the girls' bathroom first and then work their way to the boys?
Oh, my.
Here we go. They say that they are already implementing this this program in girls' bathrooms and non-gender bathrooms. But by next year, all bathrooms will have the products and instructions, including male bathrooms. Instructions for how to use tampons and pads will be posted in all bathrooms, the Portland Public Schools say in a statement. There you go.
Lovely.
So boys in Oregon now need to access tampons.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to take them, the just goofy boys, they're just going to take them, shove them down into the toilet, and make a mess as a prank.
Could be. They have four policies in the Menstrual Dignity Act.
Four policies?
Four pillars.
Ay-ay-ay.
The privacy, inclusivity, access, and education. They say students of all genders and abilities will be taught without shame. This is happening in Oregon. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868. You good people in Oregon. Holy cow. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
We're trying to figure this out. We're not sure if Joe Biden, President Biden, malfunctioned or if it was the teleprompter. I want you to hear what the president just tried to say during a national address.
And that's what public service is all about. It's that it's that what the president rank award is all about.
I don't know. We just throw it out there for you, folks. It's word salad. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Patty on the line. Hi, Patty. What's going on?
Well, I want to say something. You know, it's funny that this this Mary Poppins comes along because, Obama made a speech, and all of a sudden, she comes out of nowhere, Mayorkas. Well, he's going in January. That guy's gone. Because we have to wait until January, right, if we take over the House, right, in the Senate?
Yeah, and the Republicans say they're going to impeach the guy, so...
He should be impeached right now, I agree. That guy is, he's a complete idiot. And Joe Biden, he's just a... This poor... I kind of feel bad for him. They throw him out there and they pull his string. He's a puppet. And Obama is running the country. I know he is.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. And by the way, Mary Poppins, you're referring to Nina Jankowicz.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, Patty, they say she's an expert in disinformation, and she is. I mean, she's the one that was...
Yeah, she's the the worst disinformation person in the world with the Hunter Biden and the Trump. Come on, man. I sound like him now. Come on, man. You know what? I'm so sick and tired. We got to get rid of these lunatics. We got to get rid of them, Todd. We got to get rid of them.
No, Patty, I completely agree with you. It's a mess. And my concern here is that they are going to try to start not just knocking on people's doors, but if you've got Homeland Security involved, just think about this, Patty. You say something that the government doesn't like, they could shut down your bank accounts. They could make your life very miserable. And
well, I'm still in Twitter jail, Todd, by the way.
Really?
I cannot still get on. I'm trying to get on Truth Social, and there's like so many people that are, it's hard to get on there, too.
You know, Mike Lindell, I almost forgot about this. Mike Lindell, Patty.
Got thrown off
again. They invited him back on. All that to say, Elon Musk is not in charge yet. So all these people that are out there saying, oh, it's a glorious new day. It's not glorious just yet. Not yet.
Now, yes, so I want to ask you one more question before I hang up. How was your weekend with everything? I know you were going with the church and everything, and, how was it?
Patty, it was very nice. We had a good time. Friday, about 800 Republicans turned out to see Mark Meadows. Got a chance to meet with Mark, and we've got pictures up on Instagram. And, folks, if you don't follow us on Instagram, I would encourage you to do that because we put a lot of pictures up there. Patty, Grace Baker was with us, and she had a great time. Grace, did you have a good time? She's saying, yes, she had a good time.
And tell Grace that I had a bottle of Merlot the other day, and I was thinking of her dog.
Oh, wow. You know, Patty, this is weird. Last night, I was going to pick up my tuna fish at the Kroger, and they had a lady that was there. You know the ladies that they have the free samples? And she was offering samples of cheese and Merlot, and I thought the same thing. I wonder what Merlot's doing. All right, Patty.
Oh, God bless you, Todd. God bless Grace. I love you guys.
All right, God bless you, Patty. Thanks a lot now. And Grace, I stayed up somewhat late to watch the Grizzlies, and I thought we had it.
We were so close.
So close, and yet so far away.
Yeah, and yet so far. One shot away.
You know, if we just hit our shots, the Grizzlies would be,
astute analysis, Todd.
150, 160. I'm just saying.
If we made our shots, we would win.
No, we're making stupid decisions out on the court. That's what I'm trying to get.
I know. I agree.
Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. But on this program, we got to represent the hometown.
This is true.
Go Grizzlies. What is it, Mem this? Or
yeah.
People I don't
it's
know.
It's okay.
It's just
go Grizzlies.
Yeah, it's just not,
just go Grizzlies. That's all you need to say.
And I'm still trying to come to terms with the Grizzlies. I mean, they should have changed the name of the franchise when they moved to Memphis.
What should it have been?
The Hound Dogs.
Oh, no.
Memphis Hound or the Catfish.
No.
Right?
Grizzlies are way cooler.
Or the Pigs. I don't know. The Memphis Pigs because of barbecue. The
we
Hogs.
We would get made fun of.
The Hogs.
You already got the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah. Okay, come on. Let's get real. No, seriously, Hound Dogs, for Elvis, you ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Yeah, fair enough. The grizzly, you're definitely not going to find a grizzly bear walking around Memphis, at least I hope not, unless it's at the zoo.
Or the Shooters, in memory to I-240, and the fact we're the deadliest city in America. So.
True.
The
grizzly bears.
The homicides.
Might fit right in.
The homicides. All right, got to take a break here, people. 844-747-8868. Dinesh D'Souza coming up next. All right, folks, listen up. We tell you about a lot of great stuff, and there we have some incredible guests that drop by the show and the podcast. But one of my favorites is a guy by the name of Dinesh D'Souza. You know who Dinesh D'Souza is, and whenever he has, and I just bookmark this in your brain. Whenever Dinesh D'Souza writes a book or produces a documentary, that is something that you have to watch. You have to read. And tonight, there is a limited theatrical release of his newest investigation. Two nights only, Monday, May 2nd, Wednesday, May 4th, and you need to get yourself to the theater tonight. You can purchase tickets at 2000mules.com. That's 2000mules.com. We've got a direct link on our website along with the trailer for this very important movie. The name of the film is, in fact, 2000 Mules, and in this movie, in this documentary, Dinesh reveals the truth about what really happened in the 2020 election. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always good to have Dinesh D'Souza on the program. Dinesh, first, welcome to the show. Second, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited about this new film. It is of a scope and significance that far exceeds my earlier films. And there could not be a more important topic, although it is also the most censored topic in America, which is the topic of election fraud.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I want you to give our listeners a preview of what they can expect when they go and watch the movie tonight.
Well, people are accustomed to a little bit of loose talk about election fraud. And quite honestly, it comes from both sides. So from the left, they'll say it's the most secure election in history. And then you say, well, how do you know that? And they'll be like, well, where's your proof of fraud? Well, let's say I have no proof of fraud. Does that make it the most secure election in history? Don't you have to show me a comparison between this election and, let's say, the last five elections to show me there was less fraud in this one than, say, in 2016, 2012, 2008? No one even attempts this. They just make this ridiculous, pompous assertion, most secure election in history, and the rest of us are supposed to just nod like sheep. Now, conversely, there are people on the conservative side who say, you know, I smell a rat. I knew something went wrong. Here are all these anomalies. But see, an anomaly is just a puzzling fact. It doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't some explanation. It's conceivable that Trump got more working class votes, more black and Hispanic votes, but still lost more suburban votes and thus lost the election. So to me, you need a proof that goes beyond these kinds of suspicions and insinuations. And I think that in this movie, we have raised the bar from insinuation and anomalies to actual visible proof.
One of the things I love here is that you were able to obtain data from True the Vote, and that's a great election integrity group. And you were able, using that information, you were able to expose a lot of the Democrat shenanigans and their plans to literally disrupt the election results.
Yeah, True the Vote did an incredible job. They bought the geospatial data. Now, geospatial data is the data that tracks the movement of cell phones. Inside of our cell phones are these apps that allow our location at a given point in time to be precisely located. And so through time, you can see the cell phone actually moving. Now, obviously, I can give my cell phone to my wife, Debbie, and maybe she's at the Dropbox and not me, but the fact that the cell phone is at that location is beyond dispute. And what True the Vote did is they bought this giant body of data, 10 trillion pings, and out of it, they ran a search algorithm to find mules. What's a mule? A paid operative who is hired typically by a left-wing organization to deliver illegal and fraudulent votes to ballot drop boxes, usually under the cover of night. And True the Vote was able to search for mules who went to 10 or more drop boxes. So really, like high-performance, industrious mules, and we found 2,000 of those. Just in the five key areas where the election was decided. So Atlanta, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Detroit, Philadelphia, just in those areas, a minimum of 2,000 mules.
Dinesh D'Souza on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a powerful film that you need to see, debuts tonight in theaters, 2,000 Mules. Dinesh, what is going to be the reaction? I know some people have already seen the film, but what was their reaction, those folks who had the opportunity to preview it, when they finished watching the documentary?
Well, let me just say this. To the people we've shown the movie, and it's only opening, this is its premiere week. And on Saturday, May 7th, we have a virtual in-home premiere where anyone in the country can buy a ticket, log in, you get an access code, boom, you're in. You'll be able to watch the movie at home, and there's a live Q&A to follow. This is on Saturday, May 7th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, that being said, a lot of times with my earlier movies, people would say, man, Dinesh, when your movie finishes in the theater, the whole audience stands up and claps. They're so moved and they're so fired up. And I've been very proud of that reaction, but that will not be the reaction in this movie. In fact, I predict that when people watch it, there'll be a dead silence. People literally will sit still in one place for a little while because they have to digest, they have to take in the implications of what we're talking about. This is not just a matter of, hey, what are the three things we need to do to fix it next time? What we're talking about is whether or not there is enough fraud to tip the balance in a presidential election. And if that's the case, do we have the wrong guy in the White House? And what do we do about it? We are absolutely in constitutionally uncharted waters.
So what do we do about it, Dinesh? What do you recommend?
Well, there are two ways to think about it. You know, one way is I'd call it the baseball game way. You lose the game, the other side cheated, but there's going to be a next game next year. That's one way. The other way is I'd call it the Lance Armstrong way, which is if Lance Armstrong cheated by taking illegal drugs and won the Tour de France, what, 7 or 8 times, then you got to take away his medals because you have to deprive him of the fruits of the cheating. And so both are valid ways to think about it. The movie doesn't try to resolve how you come out on this. It tries to lay a foundation of undeniable fact. And we're not just talking about, I mentioned the geo-tracking evidence, there's also surveillance video. And this is not surveillance video that, you know, some guy in a truck took with his cell phone. This is the official surveillance video of the states themselves. And so I don't even have to give it to the government. They already have it. They took it. And the audience is sort of let in on seeing the criminals in the act. It's amazing. It's very eerie. It's like going back to October, early November of 2020 and watching this criminal network, this cartel that is clearly organized. It couldn't have arisen spontaneously. It's organized by the left and by the Democrats to swing the election for Joe Biden.
You know, and just a couple of days ago, Dinesh, the report came out from Durham that the Clinton campaign had literally unleashed mountains of fake news attacking President Trump that the mainstream media just gobbled right up. I mean, this is not just a scandal. I believe, based on the information we already have, that there was criminality involved going all the way back to 2016.
Well, that is true because, I mean, from what I've been learning, the Hillary campaign decided to deploy a British agent and also his deep state contacts to go to the media, which was in on it into a degree, people like Franklin Foer of Slate magazine, and basically, you know, collude. That's the real collusion. The collusion was between the Hillary campaign and the deep state and the media against Trump. There was no Russia collusion. This was the real collusion. But that's 2016. What we're talking about in 2020 is we are showing video never seen before in which you get to see this organized fraud. And think of all the nonsense they've been saying, you know, this is the most secure election in history. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Dinesh, this information, the video, never seen before video, is this something that can be taken to the courts? And if so, what can we do with this?
The way this needs to go is not so much to take the video exists, but the way to do this is for law enforcement to step in and arrest the mules. True the Vote has the cell phone IDs of these mules, not their names, but their cell phone IDs. But law enforcement does this all the time. They track a cell phone, they have a cell phone ID, they get a warrant, and then they unmask the cell phone, which is to say they go to the provider and they get the name of the guy. So you have the name of these mules. They're all committing felonies, by the way, right in front of the camera. You arrest them. Okay, who paid you? Who put you up to it? Who's behind this operation? Where'd they get the ballots? So there is a logical next step that comes. In fact, the FBI should be raiding the offices of these left-wing organizations because they are forbidden by IRS rules from getting involved in electioneering in this way. They're allowed to urge people to vote. They're not allowed to campaign for any particular party or candidate. And yet it seems here that they were involved in a massive fraudulent ballot collection scheme for the Democratic Party.
You know, here's what concerns me, Dinesh. We've got a midterm election coming up, and I'm not too certain that the election issues, the integrity issues, have been rectified at all. My concern is what happens if the Democrats are able to literally control the outcome of the midterm elections.
Well, that's a legitimate fear. Now, true, some of these states have passed some decent voter integrity laws that go part of the way to solving the problem, but there are still important things to be done. I mean, a lot of these states, for example, said that they would, but simply didn't install surveillance video at the mail and drop boxes. So while True the Vote got a lot of video, 4 million minutes, a lot of places had no video. And I think that was in order to enable the cheating. So in other words, the states were like, oh, it's COVID, we're too busy, we can't really get out, so sorry, we didn't do the video. But the simple minimal requirement in an age where technology is cheap, every parking lot has surveillance cameras, the idea that you're running an election in the United States of America and you don't have surveillance video in the drop boxes, I mean, what kind of a banana operation is that?
It's a fair point. All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there. Dinesh, congratulations. Powerful new documentary, 2,000 Mules. And it is, again, two nights. Tonight, May 2nd, Wednesday, May 4th. If you'd like information on where the film is being shown, go to 2000mules.com. That's 2000mules.com. And then on May 7th, a live online presentation, a virtual premiere. And that's going to be a powerful thing. Again, all the information at 2000mules.com. And Dinesh, you'll be walking the red carpet Wednesday, I believe, at Mar-a-Lago.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really exciting. We've got just, I mean, this is going to be the party of the year. And it's just our way of kicking this off in a big way.
I love it. Well, well-deserved honors and accolades coming your way. Dinesh, good having you on the show today.
Thank you very much, Todd.
All right, there you go, folks. Dinesh D'Souza, I think I'm going down. I got an invite to go down to Mar-a-Lago this week to watch the film and walk the red carpet with Dinesh. And as he said, it's going to be the party of the year. So anyway, lots of fun. And again, a very serious point here. Dinesh has been able to expose the plan, the Democrat plan, to permanently control America's elections. And as he said, and I love the way he framed that, you've got a couple of choices here. You can either say, okay, we know they did it, and we're just going to have to deal with it and just win back the White House, or you take back what was stolen. And I'm not sure there is a constitutional way to do that, but it is a mess. And I'm with Dinesh. Now the police, the FBI, need to launch investigations into these mules. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, I don't have to tell you that America is facing huge challenges, and there are some serious ones. Soaring inflation, alarming crime rates, not to mention what's happening at our southern border. Now we need to support an organization that loves America and is fighting for America every single day. I'm talking about our friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. They are America's conservative 50-plus organization. And my friends at AMAC are action-oriented, fight every day to represent our interest on Capitol Hill with their great advocacy team. Folks, I want to encourage you to go right now to amac.us/starnes. That's amac.us/starnes and start receiving some incredible benefits like discounts on travel, cell phones, and restaurants. And you get to fight to preserve America and the causes that conservatives care about. Get this, only $16 per year. You can join forces with AMAC and 2.3 million Americans who share your values. I am a proud member of AMAC, and you can be one too. Go to amac.us/starnes and join or renew today.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
We're gonna get to Tucker Carlson tomorrow at the start of the show. All right, we've got to talk about this New York Times hit piece. Pretty disgusting. So we're gonna get to that. Have you heard about what happened on a Southwest Airlines flight? This is a great story. A Washington Examiner has a piece. Abigail Adcox is the reporter. An Oklahoma couple Jeremy Salda and Pam Patterson got married at 37,000 feet on a Southwest Airlines flight. They were flying over Arizona, and what started out as a joke turned serious when the pilot, Captain Gill, gave the green light. So they were married right there on board the airplane. Hope there wasn't any turbulence. The couple ended up at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport in full wedding attire with a canceled flight when they met Chris, an ordained minister, who offered to marry them. So they were actually trying to get to Vegas to elope, and because of all the flight delays and cancellations, they were stuck on an airplane. By the way, do you know where, this is great, do you know where they eventually ended up taking off from, Grace Baker? There are two big airports in Dallas.
Ooh, Fort Worth?
No, Love Field.
Oh, wow, that's much better.
Isn't that great?
That's good.
So the wedding was complete with all the bells and whistles. The flight crew sprang into action, toilet paper streamers, and they made a sash out of snack mix.
I'm guessing no sparklers or anything like that.
No. They didn't throw rice either. Passengers chipped in, one offering up a spiral notebook as a makeshift guest book. All 60 passengers signed with their seat numbers. That's nice.
Very nice.
And a message for the happy couple. One passenger, a professional photographer, took photos.
Well, how nice.
And Southwest gave them a shout out on their Facebook page.
Oh, well, that I would imagine they would. Mm-hmm. Looks great for them.
We can't wait to welcome you back on board the Love Airline. I'm just glad they didn't spend the honeymoon, you know, on board the flight as well.
Yeah, me too.
That used to be a thing back in the 70s, allegedly.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. Ooh. It's a family-friendly
show. Please, no.
Jill Biden, it turns out nobody wants to read her memoir. This is sad. She only sold 250 copies of her memoir, The Personal and Political Life of First Lady Dr. Jill Biden. You know, it's interesting. That reminded me, Grace, that back in the day, you know, her ex-husband, Jill Biden's ex-husband, actually accused her of being a homewrecker.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So he said that she had an affair with Joe Biden while Biden was still... Wait a second. No, they were still married, and she had an affair with Joe Biden.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Spicy.
I wonder if she put that in the book. She probably should have, and then it would have sold, you know, it would have sold 1,000 copies, maybe, or at least 300. I don't know. All right, there you go. All I can tell you is we've sold more copies of the biscuit book. So there you go, America. All right, have a good one, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.